Happy Halloween, everyone, and welcome to F This Movie. My name is Patrick Bromley, and I am joined tonight for the final podcast of Scary Movie Month on the last day of Scary Movie Month 2013 to talk about the entire Friday the 13th franchise by Mike.
Hey, everybody.
Welcome back,
Thank
Mike.
You.
I've missed you.
I missed you. How are you doing now that the month is over?
I feel okay. The last week of the month was rough for a lot of reasons that were sort of not Scary Movie Month related, but also Scary Movie Month related. So
I remember at the end of last year's Scary Movie Month, we were, I think, all exhausted.
Yeah, we kind of couldn't wait for October to be over, and this year I'm actually kind of sad that it's ending.
Yes, I am too.
But only because I never got a chance to watch Mirrors, which was on my to-watch pile, and I just never got around to it because at about the three-week point, I realized I have to watch 10 Friday the 13th movies.
It's daunting.
And Mirrors never got watched.
Did you get through most of your to watch?
Everything except for Mirrors.
That's pretty good, then.
Not bad. Would have been better with one more movie. Anyway, you guys are listening to F This Movie, which you can find at fthismovie.net. You should follow us on Twitter. We are at F This Movie. You should like us on Facebook. You can email us at fthismoviepodcast@gmail.com. Find us in the iTunes store by searching F This Movie. And if you like our show, you can leave us a nice review. But remember to find all of our past... I said all weird. All of our... I started to say our, and then I said all, so it was owl.
Find our owls.
you can find them all at fthismovie.net. And did I get everything?
I think so.
All right. The Scary Movie Challenge is over. I don't know what the final tally is because we're technically recording this before the last day of October. But man, everybody did awesome. People wrote so many reviews. They were so entertaining to read. We had a bunch of new people this year. A lot of our old favorites were there. So this really, really was great. And I think I can say that this was the best Scary Movie Month we've ever had.
I would agree.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
For the color commentary, Jesse the Body.
Let's
read some of our most recent favorites. Go ahead.
Can I pick one that's not so recent?
Yeah.
It's earlier October.
Okay, sure. Is it from this year?
Yeah, no, it's
okay,
from this year.
Okay, yeah, then go ahead.
James N. M. McLeod said of Exorcist 3, surprisingly great with one amazing jump scare.
And why did you pick that one?
Because it has one amazing jump scare, and I want to take any opportunity to remind people, if you haven't seen Exorcist 3, I don't know that I feel it's great, but it's good, and it has one amazing jump scare.
I've never seen it. I've seen the first one, the first Exorcist,
sure,
which there will never be a podcast on for this movie, ever.
That's too bad.
I'm making that a rule. not a full one, anyway. I was totally unaware of the famous jump scare in Exorcist 3 until a couple years ago, maybe last year, I don't know, you wrote a thing about it.
It was last year, yeah.
And now that's all that gets mentioned.
I'm a trendsetter.
Like, you truly, truly are, because if Exorcist 3 gets mentioned, that scene gets mentioned, or in any column that's about, like, what's the scariest thing ever, somebody mentions the jump scare in Exorcist 3.
You're welcome.
Internet. Anyway, quit filibustering. Mike with a Y, not you, you glory hound, says of The Fly, 1958, I'm still worried about the poor cat.
I saw that one. That made me laugh.
Yeah, I just saw The Fly for the first time. That's why I bring it up. Yes. I mean, if we're going to do like a long, elaborate backstory for each of our picks, let me fill in the fact that I just saw The Fly.
Well, why do I keep coming back?
You're a glory hound.
JK47 wrote of Halloween 2, 1981, the most unintentional, funniest car crash ever.
It really is. we talked about that on our Halloween podcast.
Sure,
it is the best when they crash into the wrong Michael Myers. Keeping on the Halloween tip, Diego S., a new name to the Scary Movie Challenge, says of Halloween H2O, decapitation is my only weakness. Damn you. That is outstanding.
That is outstanding. Saul O.,
yes,
our friend, wrote of Dawn of the Dead, 1978, death's a bitch and then you live.
Very clever. I have a Saul O. as well, The Conjuring. One scene made me sheet my pants.
I haven't seen The Conjuring, but I still get it.
That was all you had?
That was all I wrote.
Well, thanks for thanks for taking the time to write down two of them.
Wrote down three of them.
All right. Ellie Milbank says of Scream, run outside, not upstairs, you frickin' idiot. Here, can you read that one?
Sure. Tim
Luz,
thank you, wrote of A Nightmare on Elm Street, 1984, Palm Trees in Ohio, Must Be Dreaming.
Oh, Shannon Briggs says of Paranormal Activity 2, even in small doses, Micah's still annoying.
Brett Cullum writes of Scream 3, Courtney Cox with bangs is very scary. Wait till you see Scream 4.
She's not a person anymore. No. Charlie says of Bride of Frankenstein, so the blind guy's really the bride?
Gabby Farrow?
Yeah.
Writes of Slither.
You got a good one.
Oh, shit.
Sibilance?
Sibilance? Synopsis. Slimy, symbolic. Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. Satirical and splendid.
Just so you guys understand.
Thanks a lot, Gabby.
Just so you guys understand, there's a little like Word document open on the laptop. The font is tiny. Mike is leaning over a desk trying to read it. It's not that he's illiterate. It's that I've made it impossible to read.
To be fair, if that font were big, I would still not be able to read half of that.
Sanguineous? Bloody. It means bloody. I know what it means. I've just never had to say it out loud. Gabby Farrows are great because they all read, like, graduate papers.
Yeah.
Lastly, Kathy says of Psycho, Marion, suitcase, and a spare, big trunk. That is excellent.
That is excellent.
You guys are awesome. I can't wait to read some more of these next year. I'm sure you're all looking forward to some time off of writing 7-word reviews for scary movies, but
I can't wait to get more backstory. Why I picked those.
I can't thank you guys all enough for participating and turning this into a real thing. I mean, the first year it was just one kind of fun thing to do in October, and we got like 100 of them, and now it's become this huge, huge thing, and that's thanks to all you guys. So thank you for being awesome all the time.
Thank you.
And thank you, Mike.
Yes.
Have you seen anything scary lately?
I have. I know people are going to be tired of hearing about this
I'm tired of hearing
movie,
about it.
But you let me borrow Psycho 2.
Ah, yes.
That would be my biggest surprise of Scary Movie Month.
Okay.
I really, really loved Psycho 2. Nice. I had avoided it for the longest time. I would never declare that I'm not going to watch a movie.
Right.
So it wasn't that bad, but I had very little desire. I think my fear was I'm going to see something in the Psycho sequels that's going to
mess up.
I don't know.
Psycho.
Right. Like, I don't want to find out something about Norman Bates, and now if I go back and watch
the original. But they kind of do that.
Yeah, but not in a... Sure.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but I think
I think the reveal is pretty garbage. Like,
oh, sure. Oh, I see. Yeah, sure.
But I just ignore that.
Right, yeah.
I really do. Like, I don't think of that when I'm watching Psycho.
But I just thought it was really smart and very original while somehow still staying true to the original Psycho.
Do you want me to tell Tom Holland that you really liked it? We're super tight.
Yeah,
I don't know if you know
that.
I
can tell.
But we're pretty friendly. So.
The Tom Holland interviews, I mean, you've been bugging me for years to see it, and I just... ignore you, but when I read that
you had to get from Tom Holland, you're like, oh, now I'll see it.
Exactly.
Interesting. Thanks for listening to him and not me.
No problem. But if you guys haven't listened to that interview, listen to it, if for no other reason than to hear Sick Patrick introduce it.
As opposed to Sick Patrick talk on this podcast?
Yes.
I'm not sick, guys. I'm just losing my voice. It's been a long month, all right? And I've been podcasting up a storm. More than you know.
Yeah. So I thought Psycho 2 was... really great.
All right, cool. I'm glad to hear it, finally.
Once again,
I'm validated.
Let's stick with movies that you let me borrow.
All right,
let me borrow Sinister.
Yes, because you asked.
I did ask.
not because I've been recommending Sinister for years.
What?
Or Tom Holland.
How do you feel about Sinister?
I need to see it again. I saw it and I was like almost totally indifferent. Like, I literally don't remember one thing about it. I saw it a month ago.
I just saw it, and I would need to see it again.
Yeah.
I'm very much the same way. Before seeing it, I remember, the only thing I remember about the reviews were more than one person pointing out the fact that Ethan Hawke's family never turns a light on in the house. And oh my God, they never turn a light on in that house. And I'm all for setting mood and, but holy shit, to the point where, and this is just me being an idiot, I'm sure, but I couldn't get past it.
Really?
Like that became the thing. It's like, I remember when Underworld came out and that's a garbage movie, but I remember Ebert's review, he mentions how many doors open and close. So going to see Underworld, that I became, well, maybe thank God for that. I became obsessed with the doors opening and closing in Underworld, and that was me with Sinister. But I mean, otherwise, it's fine. There's like a sort of a mystery and when you figure out what's actually going on, it's less than satisfying.
As is the case with every sort of supernatural movie.
Yes.
For the most part.
Right.
I know what's his name from Ain't It Cool wrote it. That's like the one thing I know about it.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Parts. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. I think Ethan Hawke is really good.
Yeah, well, listen, he's in every fourth horror movie nowadays. Yeah, right. So good for him. I definitely need to see it again. I don't know if I liked it or not.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Anything else that you can think of that you saw?
Yeah, lastly, I watched Twixt last night.
Oh, okay.
For the first time, I'd been saving it for Scary Movie Month.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think I wrote a 7-word review, and off the top of my head, I don't know if this is 7 words, but I wrote, I enjoyed Twixt more than I should. I enjoyed Twixt more than
Seven words. It checks out. Good job.
Thank you. Good night, everybody.
wait, we still have to talk about Friday the 13th. Fuck. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, but with that said, it is a mess.
Yeah.
It's 88 minutes, I think, and it feels like there are chunks of that movie missing, yet there are parts that I wish were missing. Like,
was Francis Ford Coppola in your living room conducting the experience for you? I wish.
It might have been more interesting. I love Val Kilmer, and he's fine. I enjoy watching him all day. So that probably helped a lot.
These days he kind of looks, though, like Val Kilmer ate Val Kilmer, right?
He's huge in Twix, yeah. Yeah. I think he's slimmed down now.
And is that Elle Fanning that's in that movie?
Yeah.
I'm a fan of the Elle Fanning.
Yeah, she's fine. Bruce Dern's a little, he's a little over the top, and I like Bruce Dern.
Bruce Dern?
Mm-hmm.
Never.
but it's just, yeah, it's a mess. And there's a part of me that, in a weird way, enjoys this new period of Francis Ford Coppola's career. His movies have been...
The fuck it period?
sort of. Well, they're just... His movies are nothing if not interesting.
Sure.
I would say, like, Youth Without Youth. I like Tetro.
Okay. I haven't seen any of them, so I'm just talking out of my ass.
But, Twix is a big mess.
Yeah. Is it a horror movie? I mean, I know it's about vampires, but would you call it a horror movie?
I am for the purposes of this podcast.
Oh, okay.
Sure. Yeah, sort of. Not right. Right. Yeah, I guess, but...
All right.
I guess they can...
I don't have much new to talk about, because, I keep sharing stuff on podcasts or doing podcasts on the movies that I've been watching, but I was just hoping to... I know you recently saw The Final Destination.
I did. Oh,
what did you think of that?
To begin of Final Destination. The best part of watching The Final Destination was I got to sit next to Patrick, and about once every 10 minutes, Patrick would just say, I hate this movie.
I really do hate that movie. That is a garbage movie.
It is a garbage movie.
And I don't really love any of the Final Destinations. I like two.
You like two a lot, yeah.
The other ones are, like, okay at best. Mm-hmm. But I really hate that one. Like, I don't understand how it got onto movie screens at all.
And we watched it in 3D.
Yeah, we did.
In your screening room.
Yes, thank you for calling it that.
Hurt my eyes.
Yeah. To be fair, it would have hurt your eyes without the 3D, because right. It's a garbage movie. What did you think of Hatchet 3, which you also saw for the first time?
I did. Hatchet, and
it's problematic.
It is problematic. It's fine. I don't know. I do not like it as much as the first two.
Yeah.
A lot of exposition, I remember.
A lot of exposition.
Dee Snider's son...
Cody Blue Snider
says fuck a lot.
He does.
That's what I took away from it. Daniel Snyder's face.
Daniel Harris.
I'm sorry, Daniel.
That's okay.
Daniel Harris's face is it freaked me out.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Yeah.
She was so cute, and she needs to stop doing stuff to her face.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I took away from the movie.
Cool. Good. Then the movie did its job.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, gosh, you want to just get into Friday the 13th then?
Please.
So listen, here's the deal. This is one of my, It's one of my least favorite shows to prepare for every year, but one of my favorite shows to record. Huh. The first year that we did Scary Movie Month, we watched and recorded a podcast on all of the Saw movies. Yep. Then the next year we did Halloween. Then last year we did Nightmare on Elm Street. So this year, of course, we went to Friday the 13th. So the reason I say it's my least favorite to prepare for is because we always have to watch like 6 to 10 movies just to prepare for one podcast.
And it can feel like homework.
It does. But it's always, these are always super fun to do. So I'm excited to talk about the Friday the 13th series with you.
We just went 1 through 10.
Yes.
We stopped after Jason X.
Very good. Yeah. So no Freddy versus Jason, no remake.
Right.
That's it, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I did watch Friday the 13th, the series.
Oh, good. Is it any good? Because I've never really seen it.
I don't know.
Okay. I know you didn't actually watch it, but did you get a chance to watch Crystal Lake Memories?
No, and I wish, because I was going to...
It's all right.
But it would make me maybe sound smart.
No, it wouldn't, because I've watched it, and I don't have a ton of facts. Okay. It's disappointing. I really was super excited about Crystal Lake Memories, but so much of it is taken from... His name was Jason. It's just repurposed those interviews. There's some new content, but like it was kind of a bummer.
It's not Never Sleep Again.
Oh my gosh, no. Never Sleep Again is the best.
It is.
The best. All right, so Friday the 13th, after watching 1 through 10, sir, how does this franchise stack up against maybe the others that we've talked about?
Before we started this experiment of ours,
This year or this 4 years ago?
This year. Before we started preparing for this podcast,
got it.
Watched Friday the 13th movies, I probably would have said it's my favorite franchise.
We do this every year.
Do we
every
really?
Single year we start with, I thought this was my and then we watch them all in a row and we're like, it turns out it's not at all. I swear it's to God, if you go back every year, it's like, I was pretty sure this was going to be the one, but it's really not.
That's funny. Well, I'm nothing if not consistent.
No, I do the same thing.
Yeah, so I remember a buddy of mine got me the Friday the 13th box set on DVD, I don't know, 5, 6 years ago.
From Crystal Lake to Manhattan, that one?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And I hadn't seen, with the exception of Friday the 13th Part 1, I hadn't seen those movies in a long time. So it was like watching them again. It was like watching them for the first time.
Okay.
And I remember going through that box set in no time and having the time of my life. This time was a very different experience. It was still fun, don't get me wrong, because my favorite, I love horror, and I think 80s slasher horror is probably my favorite, and this is... Such so 80s slasher.
Yeah, horror. Right.
But yeah, but for whatever reason, it felt a little bit more like homework this time around. It wasn't quite as enjoyable as I had anticipated, but there are some highs and some lows. And
so if this isn't your favorite franchise, what is?
I don't know.
Is it one that's yet to come? Because we're running out.
There we are.
Next year's going to have to be like either Texas Chainsaw or Hellraiser.
Where did I fall on Nightmare on Elm Street?
I don't know.
Because as I sit here, I feel like maybe Nightmare on Elm Street is my favorite. But last year, did I say no?
I feel like that. You did, but maybe that was me. I don't know. I'd have to go back and listen to last year's.
I don't know.
Halloween. I very specifically remember us both thinking, like, this is probably the best one, right? Because it has the most good movies, and it doesn't. And yet it does. It has, like, at least 4 good ones, I would say. If I'm willing to count Halloween 2 as being a good one. I know when we recorded the podcast, both of us were like, what's it? Halloween 2 is not good. Why were we confused? And I have this relationship with Halloween 2. I was just saying this the other day. I'm like, I switch on and off. So I'll watch it once. I won't like it. Next time I watch it, I like it. Then I go back to not liking it. So right now I'm on I kind of like Halloween 2.
But I think, and I think I'm stealing this from you.
Thank you.
What I find interesting about this franchise is that I would argue there's not a great movie in the bunch.
This is a great place to lead off because... Yes, unlike, let's keep it to Halloween, and Nightmare on Elm Street, it doesn't start from a good place.
Correct.
Halloween starts with a great movie. Nightmare on Elm Street starts with a great movie and has only down to go. Friday the 13th, to me, is maybe the best. I still think maybe it's the best as a franchise.
Sure.
Because it's the most consistent, because none of the movies are great.
Right.
They're all... I won't even say they're all about as good as one another, because like Halloween, I would say there's probably 4, maybe 5 Friday the 13ths that I like.
Okay.
Maybe 5.5. There's more than I thought. I I might have enjoyed this experience more than you. It still felt like homework, A, because I'm trying to squeeze it in with all these other horror movies, and B, I had just watched, like, the last week of September, I stupidly watched 4, 5, and 6.
Why would you do that?
Because on Friday, it was Friday the 13th in September.
Okay.
And AMC was, like, showing one, and I caught 2 minutes, and I was like, I gotta watch some of these. So I totally did. So then I had to rewatch those, and when I got to that point, I kind of stalled out. But part of the problem, too, is that the ends of these franchises typically are sort of the dregs. I think Friday the 13th rebounds a little bit at the end, like Nightmare on Elm Street did with New Nightmare.
Sure.
Halloween was the roughest, because by the time you get to Resurrection, you're in the basement, and you end it feeling miserable. But after a while, this one hits the wall and slows down.
Yeah.
So do we talk through them on a movie by movie basis? All right. So let's start Friday the 13th. One, go.
I always said I thought Friday the 13th one was a good movie.
That's where you were wrong.
Yeah. Until for whatever reason,
I never said it was a good movie.
I always thought it was, and I've seen it on more than one occasion. Granted, it'd probably been a little while, but, watched it this time around. I was surprised by how boring that movie gets.
I had the same experience. I've never thought it was a good movie, but I always, you know, it has a certain charm, and I see where it obviously rips off a lot of other movies, and I see where it is ludicrous and makes no real sense, but I also see what the people who genuinely love it see in the way that it's sort of this American attempt at doing like a giallo movie where it's a mystery as opposed to the other movies, which aren't. That's kind of interesting.
Sure.
And there's a decent section in the middle. This, the first kill with the hitchhiker girl, that's surprising.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously it's just sort of ripped off from Psycho or whatever, where you take somebody that you think, oh, this is the protagonist, and then you kill them off.
Right.
It's amazing how similar the structures of all these movies are, because my memory of them, and like you, I grew up watching them in the 80s, and my memory is that, you know, they're sort of wall-to-wall kills, but they're not.
No.
It's roughly an hour of 50 minutes to an hour of teenagers dicking around, two random people die, you know, it's usually like the owner of a store and a paintball team. And they'll randomly die. And then all the teenagers die in 10 minutes. And then the final girl gets chased and then kills Jason. The structure of all of them is the same. So except for that 10 minutes in the middle, these movies can sometimes be a real drag.
For whatever reason, I felt like once the killing started in Friday the 13th, the first one, that's when it really slowed the hell down.
It kind of did. Well, again, you have those couple minutes there where everybody dies pretty quickly, and I had the same experience as you watching it this time. Nothing happens for, like, a really long time after there's a couple deaths and before we get to, like, the Betsy Palmer reveal.
Right.
It really takes a long time for nothing to happen.
Right. Yeah.
So this one was not my favorite, although it's still... I think it still has its charm.
I'm
a fan of the series. I really am. And I know that makes me sound ignorant or like I have, you know, garbage taste. But I recognize a lot of it is nostalgia because I grew up on the movies. A lot of it is just liking horror movies and liking 80s slasher movies. But I'm genuinely a fan of the series. I'm not really apologizing for it. So
I don't mean to shit on the first one.
I shit on it too. It's not that good.
I just think I was surprised with how boring I found it. I've seen it multiple times, but for whatever reason, this time it just didn't sit with me.
All right, so then we get to part two.
I wanted to ask you this.
Yeah.
Where do you think part two? Popularity-wise, amongst horror fans and Friday fans, where do you think it ranks high?
Yes,
low?
Absolutely.
Oh, you do think it ranks
high? I think it ranks as one of the highest.
Okay, because I had a lot of fun with
the three installments that I hear mentioned as the best are 2, 4, and 6. The prevailing wisdom is that 6 is the best.
Wow!
But I hear 4 and I hear 2 as well.
Okay. All right. Because I wasn't sure where it felt, because I had a lot of fun with two. I like the cast. Is it like a likable?
Yes.
Group, because I think by once we hit three, you start to get into a lot of more unlikable, unlikable people. I thought the cast was really good.
Yes.
I mean, it's burlap sack Jason.
Right. But it is. It's the first appearance of Jason, right. Really, you know, and it is, it's Baghead Jason. But there's something a little bit scarier about that incarnation of Jason.
Yeah.
Because again, watching the movies now, we're so used to, I think, the Kane Hodder Jason, which is the lumbering, slow Jason.
Yes.
But actually, he runs in a lot of the movies up until Kane Hodder. Like, he kind of does run around. But in two, he's really like a crazed hillbilly with a sack on his head.
Yep.
Stabbing at people with a pitchfork. So
I actually thought of you in the beginning because we have... Because
I am a crazed hillbilly with a bag on my head.
The final girl from the first one, Alice.
Yes. Oh, fuck that.
Right, spoilers for these movies.
Obviously.
Yeah, it gets killed in the beginning of part two, and I thought I know how much you love that.
It's just, it's such garbage. It is such garbage. And she was not happy about it either. What's her name? Adrienne King?
Sure.
Was asked to come back and didn't really know why, and then found out they were going to jam, like, knitting needles in her head or something, and... was not thrilled about it, and rightfully so. Again, you deserve better, especially if you get away in the last movie.
My favorite part of that scene, though, is that she's in her home, and the phone rings, and she picks it up. Whoever was on the line hung up. So I just like to think, like, Jason's got shit to do. He doesn't want to waste his time if she's not home.
But he's
got
to stand around and wait.
I just love the idea that he called her. Yeah. Like, please pick up.
But he had already put, you know, his mom's head in her refrigerator.
That's true.
Because that's a thing. What? Again, you have to suspend all logic and disbelief when you watch these movies.
Right.
I'm totally with you, though. I like Amy Steele a lot as the final girl.
Yeah,
I like that this is sort of the movie that introduces a certain psychology with Jason, where she pretends to be the mom, and that's how she tricks him. And I, like you, totally agree that I really like the cast.
Yeah.
Not that this is a reason to like a movie, but, you know, growing up in the 80s, one of the reasons that you watched these movies was because the girls were cute and sometimes got naked.
Absolutely.
I would argue that the girls of part two, on the whole, are the prettiest.
Yeah, I'm not going to,
You got short shorts.
I'm with you.
You got Cutie, who likes wheelchair.
Yeah.
You got Amy Steele.
Oh, wheelchair Cutie's in her underwear quite a bit.
And wheelchair, that's rough. That was the first thing in one of these movies that was like, oh, these movies aren't fucking around.
No,
like,
right.
And, you know, you could say it that it's exploitative, or you could say that it's sort of deliberately, aggressively unpleasant. You know, like, they know what they're doing.
Sure.
But it's effective. You see that, and we're just programmed to not expect the guy in the wheelchair to get axed in the face, even though, you know, Texas Chainsaw Massacre already did it. It's not like they're breaking new ground. Once again, they continue to be very derivative. And two is also famous, again, for being derivative because it rips off the exact spear through the couple as Twitch of the Death Nerve. Like, that's the exact same sequence. The couple that's having sex in the bed and they get speared through. That whole thing is ripped off, which the filmmakers claim, like, I hadn't even seen that movie. And, you know, it's not like it's such a crazy original idea that there's no way two people would come up with it, but whatever. Go ahead.
I do think it's interesting that Savini's not on this one, and I think there's quite enough.
Because he left to do?
The Burning.
That's exactly right. Directed by Tony Malam.
Tony Malam.
I just wanted you to bust out your sweet Tony Malam impression.
Hello.
Hi, Tony. So he's not on this one.
Right. And you could tell they make an effort to hide a lot of the gore. And,
yeah.
I mean, it's still fine, but...
And this has your least favorite Friday the 13th character?
No. Ned from the first one.
Oh, Ned is in the first one.
Oh. I don't know why. Like, oh, my God.
Wait, why did I think it was the guy from the second one with the red hair and the hat?
Oh,
see what I'm talking about?
Yeah, of course.
He's like the one that lives.
Yeah,
he's one of the only guys that lives. Yeah,
at the bar.
Yeah, that's amazing. I can't remember Ned from the first one.
How can you forget? He's just he's the worst. I don't.
I can't remember.
I'll take Shelley all day.
Yeah, me too. So yeah, two I rank pretty high. Two is probably
I liked it a lot.
Two might be my second or third favorite.
Okay.
Where do you rank it?
Yeah, I'll go. Yeah, maybe second.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's get to three, which is your favorite, correct?
Easily. Well, three we did a commentary for.
Yes, we did.
Three, like I said before, is the start of just shitty characters, horrible people. Like that opening with the store owner and his nagging wife. And he's shitting. There's a lot of shitting in the series. Yeah. You notice that?
Yeah. Because they're so like juvenile and ridiculous. It's amazing to me that by the third one, that they had already settled into, like, they'd already given up. You know what I mean? And right. Again, not that they started from a place of integrity, but, like, by the third one, they're just like, bring in 3D. Let's gimmick the shit out of this one because we got nothing else. And you're right. Three is where it really starts to resemble what it would be in later movies.
Right.
Not just because the hockey mask shows up for the first time.
Which, by the way, like, he just looks so good in the hockey mask. And I know it's probably just because I'm used to it, and that's Jason. He wears a hockey mask.
Right.
There's such a, like, weird relief I felt when he's wearing the hockey mask. Like, oh, we're finally...
I think the hockey mask is less scary. I agree with you that, like, now he's Jason.
Yeah.
But for some reason...
Well, it's... Yeah, I guess it's not...
It's less scary because it feels like a costume, really, whereas, like, when he has the bag on his head, I'm just like, oh, this guy's crazy. This guy will do anything. Not that he won't with the hockey mask, but for some reason the hockey mask is less scary to me.
Oh, this guy's really into sports.
Yeah, exactly. than Baghead Jason. I do like three. I'm not.
I do too. Like it's a lot of fun, and it's sort of it's like the. I think when I think of Friday the 13th movies, I probably think of. I think of three or, like that type of movie.
Right.
So it's sort of. In my head, that represents the series to me.
It's really goofy and really stupid, but I do enjoy it. And everybody hates Shelley, and Shelley takes so much shit. I don't think Shelley's that bad. I actually think Shelley's like a pretty sympathetic character.
Shelley's sort of a fascinating character. Like, he's very self.
Let's not go crazy.
Well, I just mean, like,
I said sympathetic.
they take time to have him sort of, like, he's always self-deprecating, feels horrible about himself, and, like, it's really, it's interesting.
And again, it's weird. They do this weird thing where they get you to sort of sympathize with certain characters just to kill them off the same way they kill off everyone else. Yeah. Three is also the movie where the one girl is pregnant for no reason other than so that when she dies, you're like, oh, that's weird. She was pregnant.
Right.
Why are you doing this movie? They just keep I can't believe by like part 6 or 7, they don't have somebody like cough and be like, I got AIDS. And you're like, oh, that's horrible. And then they kill him anyway. And you're like, what is wrong with you? It's kind of transgressive, not to give the movies too much credit, but they do these things that sort of our movie compasses tell us like, oh, this person's going to be okay then if this is the case. Because I feel like in 2013, these people would be okay. Like, I don't think they would kill off a pregnant girl. I don't think they would kill off the guy in the wheelchair.
I completely agree.
I think they would kill off Shelley, but they wouldn't spend so much time having him vocally just hate himself and be like, oh, I'm so unhappy. No one likes me. I'm fat. I know I'm an asshole. I make jokes to cover up my low self-esteem.
But
wasn't he just killed be an asshole.
Off-screen?
Yeah.
Like, he pops in.
Yeah.
You see, but I found that fascinating. Like, they set up...
And I wonder if that's an instance where they shot his death, or couldn't get around to shooting his death.
I would assume it's something like that. Don't you, man? Because they seem to spend all this time.
There is a ton of that stuff in these movies because they were moving so quick. I mean, they were putting them out once a year.
Right, exactly.
And you know that, well, they only took about 2 days to write a script. they were trying to move quickly. And on this one, especially, I know they had all kinds of problems with the 3D that I'm sure slowed stuff down.
Which is also a blast. Like, watching these,
that's part of why it's so much fun, because the 3D effects are so stupid,
right?
way more so than like the Final Destination, which is garbage and doesn't even have like stupid fun 3D stuff, like yo-yos and
snakes,
baseball bats and snakes and eyeballs shooting out and I include three in the top half of my favorites, even though I recognize it's not good.
Correct.
But
no, I'm with you.
It's way more fun than probably any of the other movies in the series, I think.
No, I agree.
All right, fine.
I'm with you.
I'm so glad.
Yeah, well.
Sounds like we're fighting, but we're in total agreement. So then we get to 4, the final chapter. So again, 3, they give up. They're like, 3D. And then by the 4th one, they're like, let's end this thing. We got nothing. There is nothing left in the tank. Let us call it a day. We already did 3D. Where the fuck are we going to go from
little
here?
Little did they know Corey Feldman would be the fuel for that tank.
Oh, would he ever.
Why don't you, because this is your favorite.
This is right? My favorite. And this is the one that I like, regardless of it being part of a series that I like. Like, I actually like Part 4.
Yeah.
Not just as a Friday the 13th movie, but as a movie. I like the cast in this one, even though they're kind of assholes. I like the setting, even though it's not at a camp. I like that it's just in this house. I already said I like the cast, right? I like the direction. I think Joseph Zito is a better director than Steve Miner. I like Tom Savini's effects coming back.
Yeah, I was glad to see him. I guess he came back because he said he wanted to be the one to kill Jason. Yeah.
Even though initially, part of the reason I think he refused to do 2 was because they said Jason's going to be the killer. And he said, no, there is no Jason. That's stupid. Jason was a kid That's who great. Drowned in a lake. Like, that doesn't exist. So that was part of why he refused to do Part 2, I think. So it's funny that he came back to kill Jason in pretty spectacular fashion, yeah. I think.
Chris McGlover, I love in this.
He's great.
He is.
And again, creates a sympathetic character, yeah. I think.
Yeah, I agree.
Especially as the counterpoint to The Last American Virgin, who is just a total douche, but plays the part well.
Yeah.
And I talked about this in an article that I wrote recently. But 4 has the one thing in the whole series that's sort of genuinely horrifying to me. Not killing a dude in a wheelchair, not killing a girl who's pregnant. But it has the brother who comes back of the girl who was killed in Part 2. She was the girl in the bed, right? Who gets speared?
Yes.
I think that's whose brother it is. Which is interesting that there's some attempt at continuity. Like, 'cause I know people have mapped out before that at a certain point, all these movies start taking place in the future because they say, you know, that was a year ago or that was 2 years ago, but there's only a year between the movies coming out. So now we've jumped forward a year and whatever. So there's not a lot of continuity at work here, but they attempt some continuity in this movie. So this guy comes looking for his sister and ends up getting killed by Jason, and, like, as he's being killed, is, like, yelling out, he's killing me, and it's awful. It's actually awful. Upsetting.
It's jarring.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So I appreciate the fact that they're willing to be actually horrifying. And more than anything, I love Tommy Jarvis, and I love that he gets to be the one that kills Jason.
And Tommy Jarvis we're going to see in the next 2 movies
and
as well.
And he sucks in both of them.
Right. He's never more interesting
he's
than
the
he
worst.
Is.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
It's unfortunate that they couldn't get Corey Feldman back for Part 5.
Yeah.
To continue, you know, whatever it was. I think initially they did want to sort of continue with him as a killer, but I don't know. Sort of went the Jamie Lloyd route.
Got him for the beginning of Part 5.
Yeah, for that outstanding flashback sequence. Where do you stand on 4?
4 is one of my favorites as well. Okay. I don't
but
know
not your favorite. What would be your favorite?
Oh, God. I really don't know. I know I'm going to get crucified for this.
All right, here we go. Please say 5.
I think 7.
You are out of your fucking mind.
It's actually my favorite, and we'll get to that. All right. We're not there.
7 is no one's favorite. What is the matter with you?
Oh, yeah? Did you forget what a trendsetter I am?
Oh, my next true. Year. Oh, you're right.
My next year.
Everybody's going to be coming around. I'm a new blood. I'm onto that new blood shit. You all heard of Lar Park Lincoln? I'm onto the Tina tip. is it really just a fucking sleeping bag kill?
No, okay. In fact,
7 is garbage.
No, 7's not garbage.
All right. 7 is garbage.
7 is not garbage.
4 is where it's at.
I really like 4. I like that whole, you know, they are the whole group of kids that rent that house. Crispin Glover and his friends, they all die.
Yes.
Like that entire group. I don't know why I found that fascinating. That entire group.
What you're saying is that they're sort of the main characters of the movie, but the one who ends up surviving is the one who lives next door. Is that what you mean?
Because
they're sort of your entry point into the movie. The kids, I never put that together. The girl who lives next door isn't actually part of their group.
No.
Yeah, you're right. What's up with Corey Feldman's reaction to the people having sex?
Okay, so I wrote that down. Like, I took notes on all these movies. That was fascinating. And a little too close to home.
Have you seen people? Naked women. I was going to say, have you seen people having sex live before?
Screaming into pillows.
It's the weirdest. It's the weirdest reaction. I mean, I do like that. Then he pretends to be asleep when somebody comes in, but it's a really weird reaction.
It's a kid. I assume not given much. I mean, maybe he was given too much direction. Like, I can't imagine Corey Feldman would know how to react to that.
Right.
So I don't know if that's just his interpretation of of what he would do had he seen naked girl or girl screwing or
somebody on Crystal Lake to Manhattan. I want to say it's the guy that played Jason. Somebody expresses being irritated with Corey Feldman all the time on that movie. I don't remember who it was.
I think I read about that. That is the guy who plays Jason. Okay. Who's incredibly irritating. Yeah. And I think,
he doesn't like him.
Corey Feldman said that he had a very adversarial relationship with the director, and that
really,
I don't think I'm making this up. And that led to a lot of his behavioral problems. Like, he wasn't getting along with the director.
Wow. You're 12. Like, how can you not get along with the director of a movie when you're 12? Right. Like, not only is he your boss, he's a grown-up. Just listen to what he says, because he's the adult. Corey.
Or I made that up. But
yeah, you might have probably made it. You're filled with lies. All right, so then we get to part... So, for me, 4 is the best. The series peaks at 4.
That ending, by the way, is batshit crazy when he comes out.
It's great.
It is great.
Although I don't understand why how he puts eye makeup on. That right. part is weird to me. He shaves his head. Okay, I don't know how did he know that Jason was bald when he drowned? I don't know. But then,
he's looking at like newspaper clippings, right? Okay, there's like a composite sketch.
It's not pictures of Jason actually drowning, is it?
No,
that would be weird. They should have saved him. I feel like
it would be weird.
They could have stopped all this bloodshed.
By the way,
if that photographer would have just lended a hand.
A hand.
Damn it.
By the way, really quick, we talked about Friday 13th Part 1. Didn't talk about Ari Lehman.
Oh my gosh. Do you want to share your encounter with Ari Lehman?
I don't know that it's it's that interesting.
If you've ever been to a horror convention, Ari Lehman is there.
Yes, and I had this horror movie book that I decided I'm going to start getting people who are in horror movies to sign it, and I just want them to sign their name so I have enough room. And Ari Lehman just happened to be the first guy that I was going to have sign it. And
because he was standing next to him in Walmart.
So I'm at this horror convention, and this dude, he took up like a quarter of the page. He wrote Ari Lehman, first Jason. It was just huge. So then I go over to Kane Hodder, and Kane Hodder asks, you know, would I like it personalized? And I explain no, because I want to fit, you know, a lot of signatures in this. And he looks at Ari Lehman's signature and just goes, what a douchebag.
I've heard other people in the horror community kind of make fun of Ari Lehman.
You informed me that he has a band.
First Jason.
Called First Jason, and all their songs are about
being the first Jason. Yeah. He is.
That's amazing.
He has made an entire career out of being First Jason. He constantly wears fingerless gloves. He's got some excellent facial hair.
Oh, yeah.
He's always in leather, and he is the first Jason.
And he is the kid.
That is. Jumps out of the water. What the hell, Ari Lehman?
That's awesome. All right, sorry.
Is he your favorite Jason?
Yeah, easily.
So let me get to 5.
Yeah.
5, of course, being arguably, well, I was going to say the most controversial Friday the 13th, but I actually think it's not. I think Jason Goes to Hell is actually the most controversial.
Would you say it's the worst Friday the 13th?
No, I wouldn't. It is, in a lot of ways. It's horrible.
It's probably this is also the halfway point of this marathon that we had. So,
yeah.
Maybe.
By the way, we didn't watch these all in a row, like back to back to back.
No.
Okay. I should do that, though. That would be fun.
That, I don't know that
it would be awful.
Yeah.
But I kind of want to try it now. Okay, so here's the thing. 5 is garbage.
Yeah, yeah.
But 5 to me is kind of fun in the way that 3 is, because it's so crazy.
It is.
It was directed by a guy, do I have his name right? Danny Steinman?
Yes, you do.
Okay. And he has passed away. So, and he's not listening to this podcast, I don't think, from beyond the grave. He was a porn director.
Ah.
And directs Friday the 13th Part 5 basically like you would the non-sex scenes of a porn.
I wish I would have known that.
It explains everything about that movie. When you think about, not that I've ever seen a pornographic film, but from what I've read, the acting isn't always great. The direction maybe is a little clumsy. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The performances may be a little broad when they're not making love. And that is true if you inserted hardcore sex scenes into Friday 13th Part 5, you would never bat an eye. Because you'd be like, yes, this is all very much of a piece.
Right, in fact.
It feels exactly like a porn with no sex.
Again, referring to my notes, I wrote the most gratuitous nudity.
Yeah, it's the sleaziest, yeah, for sure. Yeah, it is the sleaziest. Yeah. And part of that is it's almost like the death rattle of the sleazy elements of the Friday 13th series, because after this, everything gets super tame.
Yeah.
And a lot of that has to do with the MPAA finally really cracking down. I mean, I know they cracked down even on Part 5. They've been cracking down, since, like, Part 2. But I know even 5 had to be sort of trimmed. But, yeah, I don't know if there's one female character in Part 5 who doesn't get naked, and it's the final girl, Pam.
Yes, however, she's wearing a white shirt, and it's raining.
Shh.
So
I'm just saying, stop going.
Oh, okay. No, I'm just saying, so she's practically naked, because she... You see right through her
shirt. And here's where I feel terrible about this. I'm not a fan of her as a final girl, as an actress. She's like boring, and she's a grown-up, and I don't... Mm. You want, like, a teenager. That's who's supposed to defeat Jason or whatever. The fact that she has Shavar Ross as her sidekick, I maybe is supposed to offset it, that they have, like, a median age of 19, but I'm not a fan of her, right? Okay. And... I don't think she's, like, very pretty. Again, not that this is a criteria for evaluating somebody or whatever. But in the end, when it's, like, raining and she's running away, like, that's the best she looks in the movie. And I always feel horrible when I watch it because I'm like, oh, you look kind of foxy now. And then I feel bad because I'm like, oh, but you're in crisis because Jason's trying to kill you and it's raining. And you're really at your low point. And I shouldn't be admiring your physical attributes or thinking you look pretty right now. I should just be, you know, supporting her. And
well, that's what Reckless is.
Really rooting for her. Right. Reckless is a terrible character. And I feel bad, but Shavar Ross is super annoying in the movie. Not in real life, I suppose. I thought it was weird that the paramedic, who it turns out is pretending to be Jason, we'll get to that in a second. Did you think it was weird when the paramedic... invited Reckless into the back of his bike shop. I wasn't sure that was going to land.
No.
Okay, do I have this right? Is Reckless has an older brother who lives in a van?
Yeah.
And then
and how
shits?
Did the older brother, yeah, how did he die? He was shitting.
And sings that beautiful song. I want to say it goes something like this. Ooh, baby, and then exactly he sings it back to her. And this goes on for like a long time, and you watch it and you think, couldn't somebody have thought of something 10 seconds before the camera started rolling? Did you know that you were going to have them sing to each other? Also, why do they sing to each other? But okay, maybe you wrote it in the script. They sing to one another. Come up with a song.
Yeah.
Don't just ask them to improvise, ooh, baby, over and over. I watched it again. I watched this in September and then again a couple days ago. That's but when I got to the scene where Reckless first goes to see, and he's played by Miguel Nunez, who's in Return of the Living Dead and Joanna Man, basically. He is Joanna Man. So he goes to see him, and the first thing he says is like, you want a taco or like, what is it tacos that he's eating?
I think so.
Enchilada? I think it's enchiladas.
Maybe you're right.
I don't know. It's such a non sequitur. He's like, hey, you want an enchilada? I'm like, what the fuck is that doing? But don't worry, it pays off because that's what makes him have to go shit.
Yes, exactly.
So hey, it's like, oh, there, this thing is, this, right? It's as tightly wound as Back to the Future. Everything pays off in Friday
it's a fucking
5.
Edgar Wright script.
But my real, my real favorite thing in Friday 13th Part 5.
Oh, please, yeah.
Not Ooh Baby, Ooh Baby. Not Wet Crisis Pam. It's...
That's the name of my new band.
It's the fucking inciting incident in this movie.
Oh my god, yeah.
Which Jews.
That's the most offensive.
And again, directed by a madman who doesn't know. This isn't the guy in the wheelchair. This isn't the girl who's pregnant. I think in those situations, I think they knew what they were doing. Right, I think they knew that this was pushing a button.
Exactly.
I think in this case, this guy is detached from reality and thinks that this is how mentally challenged people behave. With there's fucking chocolate stains bread. On his face. He has chocolate stains on his face. And he's brutally axed to death by a guy for being annoying. It is the greatest thing. Oh, man. I will never tire of that scene.
It's amazing. What was great is I completely forgot that scene. So I got to relive that shock all over
again. It's like Christmas. And then when you know what's coming, which is, again, if you guys haven't seen it, there's no Jason in this movie. It's this paramedic who, for whatever reason, is pretending to be Jason. By the way, not just by wearing a hockey mask. He goes full out and, like, gets a latex mask to pretend that it's Jason's face and then puts a hockey mask over that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Were you taught to do things like that?
This guy's a paramedic, all right? Lives are on the line.
Fucker's prepared.
So when you know what the end game is, which is that this guy was his son, but, like, he knew that the guy was his son, but the chocolate guy didn't know that was his dad. I mean, none of it. It is such a stretch. Like, it's even more of a stretch than when they revealed Jason Voorhees' mom at the end of the first movie, when you're like, what? We haven't met her yet? How is this the killer? This is even more insane. But when you know that that's who the killer is, his facial reaction to his son being asked is the best. Because the first time you watch it, you're just like, well, that guy's overreacting, just playing random shocked paramedic. But then you watch it again, you're like, oh, that's a dad seeing his son murdered. His face is the best. Oh, man, I love it.
So 5 is your favorite.
It is garbage, and the back half of it is super boring. There's actually, like, a point where it gets, right after it, it gets super boring. It might be, like, when the couple in the woods dies, and I'm not saying it because the girl takes her top off, but, like, it's a more elaborate killing with the garden shears, and then the guy gets the leather strap across the face, and and then after that point, it, like, moves inside the house, and it gets pretty boring. But everybody still gets naked, and they shouldn't. There have to be women in these movies that don't get naked. That's how you differentiate. Like, oh, you're the bad girl, and you're the nice girls. Got it. So, but in this, they're all naked. It's so sleazy and it's so shitty. But I like it. This also has the fucking mom with the stew and her. This is the only Friday the 13th with two retarded characters. Because it also has the Will Sasso character with the leather like pilot. What do you call that?
Is that Will Sasso?
It's not really, but that's who he reminds me of. That's but he's just like, Mo, he hurt me! And he's like riding around like a crazy person on his motorcycle, and then he gets decapitated. And the mom is just like, I know you like my stew, Junior. I know you can't resist my stew. They put the shop owners in part 3 to shame. They are so broad and cartoonish and horrible. And why they're in the movie, I don't know at all. Nothing in this movie makes sense.
And he passed away, the director?
Crystal Lake Memories.
Yeah.
Is weird only because at the end of each segment that, you know, it's broken up by movie. And then at the end of each one, it's like, R.I.P. so-and-so. It's like the guy that played Jason, the director. Like, all these people have died who worked on these movies.
Oh, that's sad.
So you don't love 5, is what you're saying?
Well, after talking about it, maybe I do.
Yeah. Super entertaining. Crazy. All right, so then we get to 6.
Yeah, okay, now I'm fascinated by this.
Everybody loves 6.
Do you love 6?
No.
Okay, because I did not like 6.
No. I'm trying to give 6 credit for what it does. Because I'm a hypocrite.
It's a departure.
Yes.
there's attempts at humor. It's the light Jason.
Yes. And that tends to be the stuff that I don't like about it.
That's what I don't.
But I think some of that is just us not getting what we want out of a Friday the 13th movie.
Yeah, I guess.
Because technically, it's smarter than any of the other movies. It has a self-awareness.
It does.
It's the only of movie of the series to come from a writer-director. Tom McLaughlin is the only guy, the only director of any of the movies in the series that also wrote the screenplay, which I think is kind of interesting. Yeah. And clearly did try to do something different with it and makes jokes. It goes back to being a camp movie. There's actual kids at the camp for the first time since, what, part one?
Exactly, which I was excited about. Not that I don't want kids to die, but it adds a
level. Like, hurt is okay.
Yeah. Some deep bruising. But they don't do anything with the kids.
Well, no, the kids are adorably precocious and self-aware and get all the lines about, like, oh, we're not going to make it. Right. And it's so, kids are funny. But I'm a hypocrite because when Jason X comes around, I give Jason X credit for doing a lot of the things that I actually don't like about part six.
Jason X is a better script, I think.
Is that what it is?
I think it's more well-written.
Okay.
Personally.
For me, I think it has to do more with, like, that 1 through 8 to me are the canon. Everything after that is just a weird, random, like, cover version. Yeah. Or, you know what I mean? It's like an alternate universe Friday the 13th.
That's funny,
So I don't mind if they change the tone or do send him into space or, do any of the wacky shit. But, like, 1 through 8, I want to be...
Okay.
I want at least 2 retarded characters in every movie.
Well, what's funny is you go from part 5, which, as you said, is just sleazy and boobs everywhere, to
the dumbest in the franchise.
No nudity in part 6.
So and no real graphic violence either, correct? No. Most of the kills are bloodless.
A lot of daytime Jason.
Daytime Jason. Does 6 have is 6 the paintball team?
Yeah.
Fuck the paintball team.
Right.
So
that stuff just didn't
work for me. Most people would argue that 6 is the best.
That's so fascinating.
And I'm not a fan. Oh, we skipped over Tommy Jarvis in part 5, who I hate.
Yeah.
I hate catatonic Tommy Jarvis.
Yeah, I do too.
But I also don't like part 6's Tommy Jarvis.
I like him better than part 5, because at least he can speak and emote somewhat. But
I'm kind of not a fan of that actor, though, and I feel bad because I know he's Return of the Living Dead, and I have no problem with him in Return of the Living Dead. I don't like the way he pronounces words. I don't know what it is. And I just don't really like him as Tommy Jarvis.
Yeah.
I just kind of wish they would have just made him a guy. I don't know. Yeah. You know?
No.
Six does have that one great but really mean-spirited kill of the sheriff. Who gets bent in half?
Yes,
backwards.
That bummed me out.
It's a good kill scene, but it's really harsh.
Yeah, it is
for a guy that doesn't deserve that.
Right, I agree. He's the most sort of real character,
right?
The most real person in the movie. I guess maybe that's the point. But
and he's the one girl's dad.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
It's just, do it to the other guy who's like, "I'll get him for you, babe." Which, when I heard that line watching it this time, I was like, oh yeah, my friend and I in like 6th grade used to say that all the time because we were constantly quoting the jail scene in Friday the 13th Part hilarious. 6.
Well, Adam Beta and I only quote First Contact, so you're one up.
All right, so then...
I think it's also, just on a side note, is this the first movie to actually... They actually mention it being Friday the 13th?
Maybe.
Because I don't... I remember making note of that. Like, I don't remember any of the other movies mentioning
what occasion do they have to mention the date in this one?
I don't remember. Okay. I just remember somebody saying, it's Friday the 13th. And just saying, like, oh, I don't
again, Tom McLaughlin being self-aware and, being proud of himself.
Right.
Yeah, I don't like any of the characters in this one. Again, I get that the script is theoretically a little bit smarter. It is jokey, and I'm not a fan of the jokey.
No. I'm usually not a fan of the... when they try to insert humor in any of these movies, because usually the whole humor is just juvenile. Well, I sound like a douche saying that, but it is. It's juvenile and it's stupid.
For whatever reason, I prefer the humor in my Friday the 13th movies to be unintentional.
Yeah, well, yeah, absolutely.
So part 5 is a laugh riot to me. Right. But part 6, when it's going for laughs, not as big a fan. Nope. And even the deaths, except for the dude getting bent in half, which is sort of incongruous with the rest of the movie, because you have like the girl getting her face pushed through the camper with like the metal, they're just kind of lame overall. I'm not a big part 6 fan.
Nope. Neither am I.
But then
luckily,
we've gotten through
saved.
Part 6 and
the
then
saved.
Everything gets better because we are at the best entry in the series.
The new blood.
Jason versus Tina.
I'm not first.
Not part Lincoln. I can't say that name without feeling like I'm having a stroke. Lar Bart Lincoln. Her name's Lar. And then on top of it, they put a park in the middle. Lar Park.
Lar Park.
Lar Park.
I'm not saying it's a masterpiece.
She's like a Star Trek character.
I'm not.
Oh, Lar gosh. Park. Wait, now I kind of like the movie.
I was going to say, should we talk about Star Trek?
So this is the first appearance of Kane Hodder. So that's a big deal.
Right.
But it's you like it for more reasons than that.
I do. Well,
you like Bernie. A big fan of the Bernie.
First of all, I'm not saying it's a great movie. Like I said,
I'm pretty sure you said you loved it.
No.
Pretty sure you did.
This is my favorite version of Jason.
Okay.
First of all, I like the look of Jason. He had been sort of eaten at the bottom of the lake. So he's just grimier. He's always wet.
And this is really the first one where he's like a full-on zombie, right?
Yeah, but like,
is he a zombie in 6? Does he take the mask off in 6?
No.
I know he takes the mask off in this one, but he might not in 6.
I don't think he does.
Okay. Is that the only one where he doesn't take a mask off?
Maybe. I don't know.
He does in 2. He does in 3. He does in 4. He's not in 5.
No.
He does in 7. He does in 8, but we don't see it. His back is to the camera, and it's the dumbest. So he might not insist. Yeah, okay. Anyway, you love part 7. Go ahead.
I think, okay, so just visually, it's my favorite Jason.
Okay.
I think it's this scariest version of Jason to me. I can't say this without sounding like a douchebag, but the kills have like a weight to them. Okay. They're brutal in a way that I think.
Which ones are you thinking of? Because I disagree, and I'm not. I don't think it's the film's fault, because this is the one that legendarily like had the most gutted out of it. Like, if the MPAA had never had its way with this movie, this would be the most violent of all of the Friday the 13th. Like, it was really brutal, and it was gutted completely by the MPAA, and the footage, for the most part, does not exist in any shape or form. So we're never going to see an uncut Part 7.
It's not any gore that they show or don't show.
Right.
I don't know how to articulate it. Other than like just him, you know, taking a hammer to someone, I felt the weight of that.
Okay.
It felt brutal. He felt like the killing machine that Jason is.
Right.
Or that he's known for. He just felt more like an unstoppable force to me than, he's an unstoppable force. I haven't seen all the movies, but for whatever reason, I felt it more. Maybe I credit some of that to Kane Hodder. He did give a different take.
This is definitely the one that feels the most like a machine.
The
other ones, he's running around and he's like a crazy guy.
Right.
And in this one, he is just this zombie that you can't stop. He just keeps coming.
Right. And I don't know why, because I would probably argue that zombie Jason isn't very interesting. I mean, like you were saying with the Jason in Part 2, that he can run. And
right.
That's scarier, I would think, but for whatever reason, this version of Zombie Jason, I found very scary and very brutal. And it just,
the only reason that I was like, oh, really, about the kills was aside from the sleeping bag kill. Like, again, this isn't the film's fault, but as I was watching it, I think I watched this one 2 nights ago. I don't remember, but Bernie obviously is the guy who should get it the worst.
Yeah.
But it basically happens kind of off screen.
Yeah.
Like, you see Jason start to sort of stab him with something, and then, like, Bernie crosses his eyes, and then Tina puts sunglasses on him and props him up and pretends that he's alive for the rest of the movie. And I was like, I don't know, who are you trying to...
I didn't think about that for a second.
Who are you trying to convince, Tina? But she gets to stay in his beach house, and so it's kind of nice. The movie has a happy ending. But, like, that one, they don't show anything, you know? And again, I know that that's because they had to cut around it, I'm sure, but that's what I think of more than anything else, is that, like, all of the... I don't feel like they're more brutal. I feel like they're all sort of undermined.
That's funny. But yeah, I mean, I won't...
So that's why you love it the most?
I like
that.
You like
Tina?
The,
are you a Tina fan?
I'm fine with Tina. Normally, I don't need the psychic power telekinesis girl in a movie, but at least like...
But it never hurts, is what you're saying.
At least...
More movies could use it.
In this case, and I realize people aren't tuning in to a Friday the 13th movie to see, are they going to beat Jason this time? However, like, at least you're giving him... You're throwing something new at him. Like, yeah. Like maybe another... A force greater than we've seen. Maybe sure. Somebody does have a chance. So I'm
not opposed to it in theory. And I thought I liked Seven more than I did. And then this watch, I was just like, oh, there's not much to like here.
Okay. I hate the end with her dad.
That's great. And there, that's another instance of they had to reshoot that, I think, because originally the dad was all like chewed up and fucked up from being under the water for all this time. Yeah. And then somebody at the studio or something said, like, no, that's too gross. No, that's too ugly. So they had to reshoot it so he has, like, a little dirt on his face.
Right.
But, yeah, that's horrible.
Yeah, it's horrible.
And then they kind of do it again in the next movie. They like, what is this with the traumatic past and the bringing back the memories and...
There's a lot to say.
It's garbage. It's garbage.
I thought there were actual moments where... I mean, these movies aren't scary, but maybe there were attempts to be create some tension and some scares. Yeah. And yeah, because
I wonder that when I watch these, like when a director is hired to do one of these movies, like what is their goal? Like, what is it that they want to accomplish? You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because can they even do anything different? Or even a screenwriter, when a screenwriter is asked to write one of these, like, what do they do? How do they even proceed from there? How do you give it any kind of original stamp? I think with John Carl Beekler in Part 7, his thing was to make it the goriest, you know? And he comes from a special effects background, so I guess that makes sense. And unfortunately, that was undermined by the studio, but I guess that was his take on it. Tom McLaughlin before him, his plan was to make it sort of jokey and self-aware, you know. So at least those guys seem to have some sort of vision. But yeah, I don't know what most people are hired to do one of these movies.
Yeah,
like,
no.
When the guy gets hired to do Part 8, like, what does he start out with? Like, okay, this is my Friday the 13th is going to be this.
Right.
I don't know. I don't think any of them are trying to make it scary. That's what I was ultimately getting at.
Oh, I completely agree, which is why...
You just said Part 7 is terrifying.
No. No, I appreciate that. I feel like there was an attempt at times to maybe scare us.
I think we've lowered the bar pretty considerably.
I'm just... we probably
have. All right, so 7 is your favorite. 4, probably. Your second favorite. 2, your third favorite.
Yeah, okay. I'll go with that.
I don't know. All right.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
Yeah.
But I also just go back to what you were just talking about. I would assume the writers and directors want to put their own stamp on it. But don't you think they also very early on try to come up with kills?
Probably, yeah.
Like, also put their stamp on it.
Right. But that's amazing because they don't come up with very interesting ones. I mean, by the ends of these movies, he's just like, I'm going to hit you with a thing. I'm going to break your neck. Like, it's completely uninteresting. And again, is it a function of, well, we wrote this thing differently, but we only had this amount of time, and we had to just move things along? Yeah, you know?
I'm sure in a lot of cases.
Right. They had to just do some sort of fast. I mean, when we get to Part 8, it's like some of the lamest kills ever.
Yeah.
All right, so 7 ends, and you cry because you're like, I wish it was longer. I wish it were still on.
Right.
And then we get to Jason Takes Manhattan, which, again, now, I think, you know, in 89 when it came out, I was like, oh, that's kind of funny. Yeah, they're doing something kind of so silly and self-aware, because where else are they going to go at this point?
Right.
And now I'm annoyed by it, you know? I'm like, oh, that's campy and stupid, and I don't like that.
How old were you in 1989?
12.
I've said this probably before on the podcast. I love that at 12. You were aware that it's self-aware. Like, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay.
And now I don't like it, because I clearly just regressed. Because I'm like, no! You got to do it at camp, and you got to take it seriously. You got to have a lady with stew.
Right.
That's what I want. Damn it.
I don't even know what to say about 8.
8 is my least favorite.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it's mine too. Like I
you really already said 5 was your least favorite.
Yeah, but then we talked about it.
So much. Well, we're about to talk about 8, so let me turn you around on it. 8 is like boring in every way.
Yeah.
The cast is lame. Mm-hmm. The final girl is death. Like, she's so dull. I hate all the stuff about her fear of water. Mm-hmm. I hate that so much of it takes place on a cruise ship.
Yeah, I know.
I hate when they get to New York. I hate all the stuff in New York that's clearly like Toronto or Vancouver. Right. I hate the fake New York actors. Uh-huh. Who are like, yeah, you slime ball. Like, really? This is, oh, that's New York. The kills are garbage. It's boring. There's no, again, at this point, the MPAA had taken out any violence, anything interesting.
They brought back a crazy old person, though.
They did bring back. Janitor. Yeah, which I guess is like sort of a self-aware kind of a thing.
Might be giving it too much credit.
Yeah, probably. And I was going to say there's no nudity in this one, but there is in the opening scene, right? There's that couple that's just like on the dad's boat or something. They're going to have sex. No. He's like, I got to throw the anchor over and then they die, right? Yeah. I'm pretty sure this is a thing that happens. Yeah, I don't know what to say about it either, except that I hate it.
Yeah, I don't like it either.
And it's the one that strikes me as the most racist. And I don't know why. That dude getting his head punched off really rubs me the wrong way. And I don't know why, because black people have been being murdered in these movies since roughly part 3, when the black biker gang was all murdered. And the one dude isn't murdered and then pops up at the very last second just to save the girl, only to get his hand chopped off and then murdered. Like, come on, let that guy get away. Make him the hero of the entire series. Like, make him the Van Helsing of the Friday the 13th series. He just keeps coming back to fight
Jason.
What
was his name?
Oh, I have no idea.
No, they all had great biker names.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, this one was garbage.
Nothing to say, that's it.
Yeah, I don't, no, I was going to say everything you said, like the new, it just seemed to take forever to get to fucking Manhattan.
Right.
And then we do, and it's clearly not Manhattan. Right. And you're right, just everything you said, like, it's just, it's cartoonish, the version of New York, and it's something, like, if you're going to put Jason in New York, put him in New York, put him there early.
And try and come up with, like,
do something new, like now you're in this, you know, city setting.
And, right, try and come up with some gags that are appropriate to the location.
Yeah, right. Right.
They do dump toxic waste on him.
No, that's true.
That is a problem in New York. And the toxic waste turns him back into a child.
Yeah.
Albeit one with hair. Like a pretty normal looking kid.
You're right.
I really am not a fan of Jason Takes Manhattan. The title is the best and worst thing about it.
Yeah. I would agree.
All right. So we didn't talk too much about that one. And then we get to what is perhaps the most controversial movie in the series.
And my the most disappointed I was.
Really?
Because my memory, I swear I was like a different person when I watched these the first time. My memory was liking Jason Goes to Hell much more than I wound up liking it. I remember it being gory, and I remember digging it. And I did not dig it this time around.
I don't think I really dug it either. And I think, like you, I used to like it more. And I think part of that, honestly, is because I listened to the commentary track. And when you listen to the commentary track, the director, who was a super young guy, he was like in his mid-20s when he made that movie.
Oh my God.
And the writer, they're very aware of the movie that they made, and they don't take it real seriously. And and it gave me an appreciation, because as I watched the movie, I was like, oh, this is all very deliberate. The kind of goofiness of this movie was done on purpose. But yeah, like you, watching it this time, it's not that great.
It's not. It's the first New Line one, by the way.
And I'm amazed, too, that it really has the worst reputation, and everybody says, this is the Friday the 13th with no Jason. How do you make a Jason movie with no Jason? Like, A, Part 5 had no Jason.
Exactly.
And B, where are all these people complaining about Halloween 3, which I know in 82 people complained about, but now that movie's beloved.
Yeah.
So there is, in theory, room for one of these movies that does something different.
But the difference is Halloween 3 is
good. It works still. And Jason Goes to Hell doesn't necessarily. I think there are still things to like in Jason Goes to Hell. I like the whole opening sequence. I like the misdirection when the chick from Roadhouse is being stalked and then they open fire like a SWAT team.
Yeah.
I think that's a good way to open the movie. Did you watch the unrated version?
I did.
It has that insane fucking kill in the tent, which is like one of the most shocking and gory kills ever. It's got The Last Shot, and you know, I hate what it led to because I'm not a Freddy vs. Jason fan.
Me either.
But it's hard to argue with that Last Shot being pretty cool.
So I was. So when was this? 1993.
Yeah.
So I'm 15, and I remember I'm with hanging out with Adam Beta and our friend Brian at the time, and Brian's older brother Pat went to go see this, and I was so jealous that he went to go see it, and I couldn't wait for him to get home to tell me about it. And he came home, and all I remember is him telling me that ending, and my mind exploded. Like, that is my fondest memory of this movie. I could not get over that fact. I could not wait to see it, and it's just, it still brings a smile to my face.
Yeah.
At that time, like, I would have loved to have been in that theater, not knowing that that's right? coming. Freddy's hand comes out.
Can you imagine not knowing that that was coming?
Because especially like 15-year-old Mike, Freddy was it for me. I love Freddy. And so that's amazing. But other than that, it's the last to use practical effects.
Yeah.
So like, I like all that, you know, I like the gore.
Pretty good practical effects.
Yeah,
you know.
They are. But I guess I, you know, I'd be lying if I said I wasn't in that camp that I want more Jason. Like I would have preferred a Jason movie. I want Jason through and through.
Yeah, I guess I would have too. I just feel like after 8 of them, I'm okay with like one that does something kind of different.
Right.
I agree. If you had taken a lot of those elements and kept Jason Voorhees in it, it probably would have been a better movie. Yeah. You know, I like the Stephen Williams character. I like how crazy his performance is. I think there's things to like in it. I don't think it's one of the best. I'm not going to say it's a super underrated movie, although I do think it's a little bit underrated by fans. But
it bummed me out. Oh, but again, only just because I think that was the one I was most sort of looking forward to.
Okay.
Because I just had this memory in my head that I really liked it, and I actually felt it was underrated. So,
well, the good news is it's the final Friday.
Yeah.
I know you thought that the final chapter was the final chapter, but it was not the final.
No?
The final Friday is the final Friday. Until exactly almost 10 years later, Jason goes to space with Jason X.
What I read was Sean Cunningham, who was producing these movies at the time. Like Jason vs. Freddy was in developmental hell.
Yeah.
And he wanted to, you know, remind people that Jason existed. So that's where this came
from. They had to make a movie that wasn't going to mess with the timeline or the canon that would fuck up anything that Freddy vs. Jason was going to do.
Sure.
So they had to come up with a Friday the 13th story that was totally separate and different. So they set it way in the future and put him in space, and then they could do whatever they want. Yeah. And that's amazing to me, because look at what they eventually did with Freddy vs. Jason. Like, what part of the canon, what part of the chronology did that adhere to?
Right.
Where we're like, oh, thank God they sent him into space, because they could have really fucked this one up. I'm not a Freddy vs. Jason.
Yeah, no, I'm not.
Jason X, when I saw it in, 2001 or something, I didn't really like it. And I've written about this before. This is the only one I think I've written about on the website. I didn't like it because I felt like it wasn't self-aware enough, because this was, like, after Scream, and I was like, no, you gotta fucking, now you gotta know what you are, and it's only that one scene on the holodeck with the two girls who are like, let's have unprotected sex. I was like, yeah, the movie needed more of that. And now I watch it, I'm like, what the fuck was I thinking? Thank God the movie doesn't have more of that, you know? Because I've come around on Jason X. I like a lot of Jason X.
Again, I do, too.
Taken independently, it's not a great Friday the 13th movie, you know? But at a certain point, you just have to say, like I said before, that the first 8 are sort of, to me, the original.
Yep.
And now you could just go off in all these wacky directions. And I like 8. Jason X does a lot of things right. I like the sense of humor. I like the cast. I like the fact that they fight back and they aren't morons, you know, because we've been watching just movie after movie of basically idiots like who are easily slaughtered.
Right.
And that's not who they are in Jason X.
Right. I agree. I like I said before, Jason Goes to Hell was the last use of practical effects, and that's a shame, because I really hate the CG.
It's bad.
Gore, it is.
It's really bad.
At times, it really looks and feels like a sci-fi movie.
Almost exactly. And part of that is because of the time, because even though CG was around in the early 2000s, they still didn't quite have it.
Right.
But mostly, my guess is it was budgetary, that they just did not have the money to do good CG.
Yeah, right, exactly. So I think that's the biggest shame. I would have liked, I would have liked practical effects and maybe a different set. Like, a lot of that stuff just feels very uninspired. So, like, on a visual level, I didn't really like it much at all. But I thought, I think it's one of the more well-written ones.
Yeah.
And yeah. And Todd Farmer. And I like the cast a lot. And,
it's fun. Like, it's the first one that really feels fun to me since, what was the last fun one? For me, it's five. Yeah, but five is fun that, like, you have to shower afterwards. Right. You're like, this wasn't fun. This was gross.
Right.
This guy wasn't going for fun, you know? Like, three, to me, is probably the most fun.
Yeah.
Except for Jason X.
I agree. No, yeah, but overall, I like Jason X.
I think the director of Jason X has also passed away. I think that was another one where after the segment, it was like, RIP this guy. It's like, oh, man, nobody gets out of this thing. Yeah, I don't know. I'm a fan of Jason X.
Yeah, I'm with you.
So, all right, what are the good ones? Because I came to the determination that this, again, if we're just speaking as a franchise, its highs are never as high as Halloween or Nightmare on Elm Street, ever.
Or Texas, I would say. Texas,
you know, I would agree with that, too. But as a franchise, as a single unit, I would say this is probably my favorite. Which,
man, see, like, now as
I did not expect.
As we're talking about it,
you are easily convinced.
I feel a lot better about the franchise than I did when we started this podcast. So I like
Seven. So what are the good ones?
I'm on record.
All right.
I like Seven.
All right.
I like Jason X. I like Part Two. I like Three for the reasons we talked about. It's not a good movie, but it's a lot of fun. I like Four. So that's what, half of them?
Yeah, I mean, I can find things to like in...
I can find things like in One.
Yeah.
I like One.
The only... Eight, for me, is pretty irredeemable.
Yeah.
And I found very little to like in Seven. and not as much to like in Six, although Six is one of those that I can point to and say, like, it's not bad. It's not that it's bad.
Sure.
It's just not what I want.
Yeah, okay.
But Six, I wouldn't say is bad. You know? That's fair. Five is garbage, but I like it, you know, because it's so crazy.
I do. I like hearing you talk about it.
Oh, man. We got to watch it in a group sometime because it's fucking nuts. So the only one I really don't enjoy at this point is
eight. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm with you.
I didn't see it
Could
coming.
Could it be because eight followed seven?
You think? It couldn't live up. Yeah, yeah. It could be. That's a pretty impossible standard for the movie to match.
It really is.
You know? He had to go all the way to New York to try and distance himself from the magic of the new blood. You know?
Right.
I feel like, and maybe I'm making this up, somewhere someone wrote a script. Maybe this is Nightmare on Elm Street. I can't remember. I feel like somewhere someone wrote a script where, like, a group of final girls come together to battle Jason. I can't remember if it was Elm Street or Friday the 13th, but for Friday the 13th, it was, like, Tina and some of the others. I don't know. Ginny? Is that Amy Steele? Pam?
Maybe. Not... Pam is the...
Pam is five.
Yeah.
I think Amy Steele is Ginny.
It's not Alice.
May she rest in peace. Who's part three? What's her name?
I don't know.
I know it's Dana Kimmel, but I don't remember her character's name.
I don't know.
She's Mormon. In real life. She's all Mormon and shit. Yeah. So she objected to some of the content in the movie. But she does fan conventions and stuff now, so she must have made peace with it.
Sure.
And will still be getting her own planet when she passes on. Do the women get their own planets? I don't know how it works.
I don't know.
I know the men do.
I'm learning.
Lucky them. May their planets be inhabited by Jason X.
What I know about Mormons, I learned from Cheers, where I think...
Stop right there.
Yeah. Somebody sends Kirstie Alley... You can cut this out of the podcast. Somebody sends Kirstie Alley flowers.
Okay.
And she says, why can't more men send flowers? And I think it was Sam says, I didn't know Mormons couldn't send flowers. I knew they couldn't dance. That's what I know about Mormons.
Oh, Ted Danson. You magnificent bastard. All right, so that's it.
Oh.
The Friday the 13th movies. 10 of them. I was way more positive about them than I thought I was going to be. Turns out I like this series.
I'm more positive at having done this podcast. I think I just needed to talk to somebody about it.
Maybe. And it's hard to watch all 10 of them in a row.
It is.
you start to feel a lot worse about the whole thing when you just hate having to watch them. But
and it's been a more frustrating October for me than I've had in a while, where I haven't had the time that I normally have to watch scary movies.
Tell me about it. I still haven't seen Mirrors.
So when I you know, found the time to watch a movie,
it
I
had to be a Friday the 13th. Yeah,
so I was a little
damn punk. anyway, thank you guys very much for listening. Thank you very much for a spectacular scary movie month. Really, 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 you guys are the best anywhere, and we really appreciate how much fun you guys make October.
It is, because I mean, we love. We love October and we love Scary Movie Month, and for you guys to make it that much more enjoyable is, yeah, we're grateful. So thank you.
It's been awesome. Yes. Thank you guys very much for listening. We now, go back to a non-scary November.
Mirrors has to wait another 11 months. Yeah.